Let's change up and talk some basketball. We are joined by an NBA insider for USA Today Sports. He is the co-host also of the NBA A to Z podcast. You know, if I'm talking basketball, I'm going to Sam Amick. Sam, it is good to have you back. In fact, it's always good to have you on the show. What's up, Sam? How are you?
Bro, me doing great. Thanks as always, brother.
Thank you very much, Sam. Great to have you. Now, you're one of the few people on the planet who had the courage to pick against LeBron James and the Cavaliers in Game 7, but you had a very good reason, his supporting cast. So, Sam, what do you make of the way that these guys showed up? The guys, everybody not named LeBron. First of all, let me ask you, what do you make of the way they showed up in the first six games?
It was terrible. I mean, it was arguably the worst supporting cast LeBron has ever seen, which is saying something. You know, as we know, Boobie Gibson has become, you know, LeBron's answer to Smush Parker with Kobe. You know, superstar players always have that one guy that kind of epitomizes the fact that they didn't have a ton of help. And so LeBron has been down this road before. But when the Cavs made those trades back in February, I was among that crowd, like a lot of people, that said, you know what, they got younger with Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance and Rodney Hood and George Hill and athletic and more defensive-minded and a little bit of punch. And I think what we overlooked was that these guys were going to go into the playoffs, you know, extremely green, and they have not been on this roller coaster with LeBron. They have not been part of this story. And so I give Ty Lue a ton of credit. It took a lot of gonads, for lack of a better way of putting it, to go to Tristan Thompson in such an important game. And the theme, obviously, all the way through that one was, you know, it's a matter of trust. You just go with the guys who – you've been through that, you know, down that road with before, and they obviously figured it out.
Sam Amick joining us. All right, so a follow-up to that. When you see Thompson and you see him inserted into the lineup last night and he responds the way he did, Sam, with a double-double, does it make you think that maybe Ty Lue has found something, or is that like a one-off, a throwback appearance from Thompson?
Maybe a little bit of prisoner of the moment, recency bias, whatever you want to call it. I'm probably leaning slightly towards, you know, they found something. Tristan is a guy, you know, who his disappearance was a bit of a mystery. You know, it felt like it was just yesterday that he was a major part of that core and a guy who they paid handsomely to do some very important work based on the way they were constructed on that roster. And then it just changed. And then they went down a different road. So I feel like they found something. This Raptors series is going to be fascinating with all the history that comes with those two teams and the idea that you had the Pacers who were not able to exercise those demons from before. I think it's now 5 out of 6 playoff runs for Indiana that a LeBron team has bounced them and ended their season. And Toronto, as we know, has got a ton of history too. So it's going to be interesting because the Raptors have exactly what the Cavs have lacked, which is the kind of depth and consistency from the guys outside of their stars that has taken them to a different level and had them as a much better team than Cleveland during the regular season. But, you know, I do, to your question, I think the Cavs found something. I think it'll make it a better series.
We're talking to Sam Amick, NBA insider of USA Today Sports, the co-host of the NBA A to Z podcast. I mean, Sam, I guess it shouldn't surprise us that even 15 years in, even at 33, LeBron is still doing amazing things like 45, 9, 7, and 4. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, but frankly, how long can he keep this up? Could he do this for another entire series or beyond that?
Like I wrote yesterday, Romy, like, I guess I'm done betting against him, so I got to answer yes to all those questions. You know, I completely flipped my prediction on this series, and now I'm going with Cavs in 7. So, you know, I'm not going to doubt the guy. It's incredible what he's doing. You know, I do stand by, like I wrote, you know, it's a 5-man game, so it's a lot more complicated than saying that LeBron is going to put on a Superman shirt and go to work. But he's playing incredible basketball, and there is an element of willpower and competitiveness and focus, however you want to identify it. You know, what he is doing on that basketball floor is pretty incredible. And yet again, you know, I feel like I always remind people to appreciate it, enjoy it, make sure you don't get distracted during the game and go pay a bill or run an errand. Like, sit down and enjoy this man and what he's doing, because it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, Sam, I think it's hard to imagine that we're not taking it for granted. Like, you think you appreciate it, but you've come to expect it, you come to accept it. I think that time's going to have to go before we really understand. Like, one day we'll look back and like, damn, did he really do that? Was the guy really doing things like that 15 years in? I don't fully think we respect it at this point. But then I might say the same thing, Sam, about Golden State. They smashed the Pelicans in game one, 123-101. What did Golden State show you in the way they handled New Orleans and the way they did so without Steph Curry?
it was unbelievable. I went down a rare road for me. I was writing my gamer, my game story off that thing, and Jay-Z's at the game, and I pulled a little bit of a trick out. I mean, so Jay-Z's got his famous lyric, you know, allow me to reintroduce myself, and I just thought it was perfect because it was that's exactly what the Warriors did. I mean, I know they handled the Spurs in the first round. I get it. It was only five games. But in terms of being dominant and in terms of looking like the team that probably privately thinks it's hilarious that people have written them off and that people think Houston is the front runner here, that game was the first time in this postseason where they did reintroduce themselves on that level. And defense is where it's starting. They have flipped the switch when it comes to what they're doing now compared to the last couple weeks of the regular season. Klay Thompson playing out of his mind. I crunched some numbers last night. If you take out the one game four against San Antonio when he struggled, that's the only bad game he's had. In the other five games, shooting 55% from three-point range, 55% overall, just absolutely lights out on target. Draymond, though, is probably the Warriors' MVP so far, almost averaging a triple-double. And, again, doing what he does on the defensive end as well. And these Pelicans, I do think they're in pretty serious trouble right out of the gate. Part of it is Draymond's versatility defensively has him unlocked again when it comes to that free safety role that he loves to play. Then they've thrown Kevin Durant on Drew Holiday, and that length and athleticism is something that is very different and a lot tougher for Drew than what he saw against Portland in the first round against guys like Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Evan Turner. And so with New Orleans, the problem quickly becomes, you know, if they can't get something past Anthony Davis and basically Drew or Nikola Mirotic, then it's a shootout. And beating the Warriors in a shootout, they're both fast-paced teams, it's a losing proposition. So I think the Pelicans are in trouble after one game.
Sam Amick joining us. Sam, go back to that point about Kevin Durant. I mean, we know Kevin Durant is all world, one of the best to ever do it. We know offensively the guy's unstoppable. But defensively, I mean, I'm stunned that he can do what he can do against Drew Holiday. Holiday is listed at 6'4". Durant listed at 6'9", but the guy's really is closer to 7 feet. How in the world is a guy that big able to have the kind of quickness to stay with and shut down a guard like Holiday?
It's just the freak of an athlete that Kevin is. I mean, it's funny you strike up a memory, Jim, of when I talked to Drew going into this series, I had gotten his game plan on the Warriors and what he thought of, essentially how they looked without Steph Curry. And what's interesting is I focused on the idea of Andre Iguodala being the point guard, Sean Livingston, guys like that, Draymond running the offense. And ironically, Drew had highlighted Durant even on the offensive end, but his point was, he's like, Kevin can be a point guard. Like, the guy can do everything. He's basically, a one or a two in the body of a four or a five. Obviously, he's very slight, but in terms of height and length, the guy is just incredibly long. And I went back and broke down some film on that game. And, listen, Kevin had help. It was Kevon Looney. It was other guys, Klay Thompson, Draymond. But in terms of setting the tone, Kevin kept up with Drew. He came through pick and rolls. And that arm was always getting in Drew's way. And so you got your line of vision, your sight affected because Kevin's always in your face. And we'll see. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be adjustments in game two. But game one, that certainly worked.
Sam Amick joins us. Well, in game two, you might get Steph Curry. Looking at this, Sam, what is a realistic expectation for Steph if he returns in game two, considering it's going to be his first game since early March?
We shall see. I chuckled today when I saw my friend and colleague Mark Spears at ESPN. I talked to Steph, and he had a quote about his expectations saying that he just didn't want to suck, which I thought was a pretty good way of putting it.
Right.
He's probably not going to. The most applicable, sampler, like evidence that we would want to look at is when he came back from the MCL injury a couple years ago in the playoffs. They're in the second round against Portland. And he goes off. Now, I remember he had a really, really slow start. He was pretty bad for most of regulation. But late in the fourth and then overtime, as you remember, Jim, he just absolutely takes over. And that was when, he was fired up and he kind of yelled at the crowd and said, I'm back. I think that gets forgotten because by the time the finals came to an end and the Warriors choked up that 3-1 lead, I think there was a cumulative effect when it comes to his knee and he wasn't fully healthy. But in the beginning, he got off to a pretty hot start. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case tomorrow. I think he's probably going to look like a a pretty decent version of himself.
We're talking to Sam Amick for another couple of minutes. Sam, before you go, Utah ends Oklahoma City season, potentially Paul George's time in OKC. So when you look at that series, what kind of an impact might it have on George's decision?
Tough to tell. I mean, I feel like you could flip it two ways. You could obviously look at it and say, okay, if you're Paul, now you're worried that we couldn't even get out of the second round. Now you've got, you know, 2 months to think about your future, which, you know, in terms of free agency, that's what the team should always be afraid of. Don't give these in the training room scheming about what they want to do next. But the other aspect of it is that Paul was so bad in that final game that maybe it kind of leaves him hungry and makes him want to come back and figure out how to take it to the next level. You know, I don't know which way I would handicap it as far as where that, you know, what happens here. It's, you need to remember he's been incredibly positive towards the Thunder all the way through. Like, I think far and above, this is not politically correct stuff. This is Paul George saying that he is a believer in their culture. He's a believer in Russell Westbrook. That obviously does not mean he's not going to seriously consider every other option. And, you know, and that's what even he, I think, doesn't know yet, is how is he going to feel when he's in the room with Magic, when they are putting that blueprint on the table for Lakerland. Or, you know, maybe some other scenario pops up that we haven't even thought about. So I don't know which way it goes, but obviously getting bounced in the first round does not help the Thunder's chances.
Sam Amick, NBA insider for USA Today Sports, also the co-host of the NBA A to Z podcast. My man, good to have you back, Sam. Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
You got it, Romy. Thank you, brother.
Good job, Sam. As always, Sam Amick.